there short. And the foul.
Curry to the basket, left-handed, and a foul.
Welcome to And the Foul. I'm Barco here with JL, and we're really excited to bring you episode number 4. Today we're going to talk about everything free agency, from the Kawhi and Paul George big move to the LA Clippers, and some quick hit thoughts on other free agent topics. Also, special 2 rants today, one from each of us on the Knicks and Chris Broussard's incompetency. Also, make sure to check us out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and never miss an episode of And the Foul.
As Barco previewed, we're talking Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to the Clippers. We both agree here that Kawhi is just a genius. Nobody thought he was talking to anyone. A lot of people thought he was just going to sign with the Lakers. He ended up hooking in Paul George, getting him to tell the Thunder that he wanted to be dealt. So now them two are together for the Clippers. Debate eventually became Toronto or the Clippers, who would bid more for Paul George, and that seemed to be where Kawhi would end up. The final trade was Paul George to the Clippers for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, unprotected picks in 22, 24, 26, an unprotected pick in 21 for Miami, a lottery protected pick in 2023, and pick swaps, which mean that whichever team has the highest pick, the team with the pick swap will just get the highest pick in 2023 and 2025. Crazy deal.
It took about an hour to explain one trade. So that's quite the haul, I would say, that the Thunder got back for George.
It's like 9 first-round picks, essentially.
That's, what, 4 more than the Davis trade?
It's a trade. It's a big-time trade.
Now, if you were Sam Presti of the Thunder, would you have taken this offer, knowing that you thought, I guess, if George came back healthy, that you could be a really competitive team in the West? I know it's a stacked conference right now, but I feel like they got so many assets. How do you feel about it?
I think the Thunder were ready to move on from what they had. We'll talk about Westbrook later, but we'll see what they do with that. And knowing how good the West is now, even how good it was before Kawhi, OKC knew they couldn't compete and they should start building.
Now, going back to your Kawhi is a genius point, I'm really interested in this idea. How much credit should we be giving Kawhi and his representation here? Because they really outsmarted a lot of the NBA. First off, they didn't leak any information about where Kawhi is going. I think Chris Broussard is an example of a guy who...
Oh, we'll get to him later. We'll get to him later. He's doing a lot. Doing a lot these days.
And I think that not a lot of people knew where he was going. And in addition to that, by making teams wait to see where he would go, he was able to thwart his biggest competitor in the Lakers and limit their options in free agency. They might have been able to fill out a roster, but they definitely had to settle and had a more limited option than had they decided to move forward earlier in free agency and sign more role players rather than wait for Kawhi.
Right. And other than just potentially messing up the Lakers, the way Kawhi does things is just so unique. And in NBA free agency world, where all the players, when NBA free agency opens at 6, all the players are signed by 7. Kawhi waited a week and he did his due diligence and he figured out where he wanted to go and how he would put himself in the best position to be successful yet again.
And I got to take some blame here. We sat here on the pod and we talked about some trade scenario for superstars and we didn't even discuss Paul George. We didn't even think it was possible. So the fact that not only was he able to find a superstar that might not be in the best situation for him, but he's a top 10 guy, I would say. It's not like he's in the Kemba Walker, Tobias Harris class. He's in the Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid class. That's like, can definitely be the second best player on a championship team.
There's only so many players in the league that can finish in the top 3 in MVP voting in a given year.
Three
in each given year.
And I guess to dig in a little bit deeper, though, let's talk about the Clippers for a second. Do you think that they gave up too much? Do you think they still have the guys around these two to be successful? And what about that fit between Kawhi and Paul George?
I think Kawhi fits with everyone. Kawhi's just an unselfish superstar who doesn't need press or anything like that. But as for what the Clippers gave up, obviously the only payoff for a trade this big is to win a championship. And the Clippers have put themselves at least in position to do that. According to Vegas, they're the favorite right now, slightly over the Lakers. So the pieces are there. Doc Rivers, the coach, is there. And if they make it work and they win, then it pays off. And then every trade that happened before this is good and worked out.
How much are those tickets going to be to go to the first Lakers-Clippers game next year? I would think those are going to be nuts.
half the people there will be celebrities. It's guaranteed. Straight from Chris Broussard told me that one.
So I guess there's three teams though that were really affected by this trade and changes trajectories of their franchise. So we talked about the Clippers, and now they're the Vegas favorite. But let's briefly talk about the Raptors for a second. They went all in. They traded for Kawhi, and I think we agree that it's one of the greatest trades in NBA history because it yielded a superstar with very little risk. Where do they go from here? And do you think they could have done more to try to get Kawhi and Paul George to come to Toronto?
Obviously, the big thing that the report that came out about the Raptors, I guess, was they didn't want to get rid of Pascal Siakam, even in a trade that would have yielded them Paul George and Russell Westbrook, even though we know Westbrook might be a negative asset. But a team with potentially Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Westbrook in a weak East, you'd have to think that's the favorite for years to come.
Do you think that'd be a better roster than what they have in LA right now for the Clippers?
Well, it would depend on who they give up. So we mocked together a little trade.
So hypothetically, let's say Masai Ujiri, GM of the Raptors, was on those phone calls. I guess the first thing you have to think is going through his head is he getting bluffed? I feel like that's a reasonable question because if I'm Masai, I probably am saying to myself, am I bidding against myself here? Or the Clippers really a suitor for Kawhi? Or is Kawhi just saying he wants me to find a way to get George? Is there another team that genuinely thinks by getting George, they'll also get Kawhi? And the second question I'm asking myself is, how much am I willing to mortgage my franchise to do it? So while you're evaluating whether or not you want to take on George, the Thunder said they also have to take on Westbrook in the deal. And that makes it much more of consideration, I think, for Masai Ujiri, because that's a lot of money for four more years to take on at a supermax contract with no guarantee that Kawhi would even sign more than a 1-1. So what we mocked up, though, is if you were in that position and the offer on the table was Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, and two unprotected first-round picks, what do you think about that? I think that what the Clippers gave up is more than that, but if that's what they really wanted, because I do think Siakam's a way better player than anyone they got from OKC, they got from the Clippers. What do you think about that?
The thing with the mock trade we have with Toronto is you know what you're giving up. The stuff the Clippers gave up, you don't know what those picks turn into, so a little more question marks, and it depends on how each team values how valuable a draft pick is. But this mock trade we mocked up right here, Lowry, Gasol, Siakam, VanVleet, add Kawhi, like that's a lineup that they used plenty in the finals last year. So that's four guys gone from a lineup that helped you win a championship. I think it's giving up a lot. Time will tell if they made the right decision. But they ultimately didn't want to be just done once Kawhi and Paul George would have left.
And I'm probably the biggest Pascal Siakam fan you're going to meet. But I think they should have done it. If this was what was on the table for them, or even if it was another first-round pick, if it was three unprotected picks and these five players, I still would have taken the deal. I don't think an opportunity to pass up as much as I give Russell Westbrook crap, a Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard team is maybe the best collection of three superstars we've seen in a long time, especially, as you said, in the weak East. I would have done everything I could have as Masai Ujiri to make that happen. And maybe it was more extreme than this. Maybe they wanted six picks. And at that point, of course, I'm hanging up the phone. But I can't imagine they were.
No. And we've seen Russell Westbrook not be able to do it as the best player on the team, not be able to do it as the second best player on the team. Love to see him as a third player on a team with Kawhi and Paul George. It'd be unbelievable. And we both agree there aren't too many teams in the East. I think a playoff spot would be almost guaranteed. And a spot in the Eastern Conference Finals would be also pretty close to guaranteed.
Are they going to let them play with two basketballs if you have Westbrook, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard on the same team?
They would have to. I mean, Westbrook's getting his 30 shots. I don't know how. If Kawhi only takes five, he only takes five. But Westbrook would have got his 30.
Kawhi Leonard would shoot 80% from the field if he played with Russell Westbrook.
True.
So we talk about Westbrook, though, and now he's definitely at the focus of a lot of trade discussion because it seems like OKC is embracing the rebuild with this decision, as they should, because they got essentially nine first-round picks in a trade, plus a blue-chip young player and a good veteran that can probably move for more assets. So I heard you mocked up some Westbrook trades for me. Would you come up with anything interesting?
Oh, did I? Well, we have some trades here with some Eastern Conference teams and also the Rockets, starting with Orlando, which obviously Russell Westbrook would hate, but we're looking out for the Thunder here, not him. Westbrook to Orlando for Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, and Mo Bamba, sponsored by Sheck West.
I mean, first off, I love the trade on its face. I'm hoping Mo Bamba could be more than just a song by the time he retires.
And it's a great song.
At this trajectory, though, it doesn't look like he's going to get there. But from the Thunder perspective, Aaron Gordon, Fournier, Bamba, they're getting two pretty good young assets on controllable contracts because Gordon's on a pretty cheap deal, and Fournier is just another guy who can play and make sure they're not the worst team in the league. But I kind of like the assets they're getting, and they get off the Westbrook contract, which it might be a negative asset. What do you think about that?
I think, obviously, we like it for the Thunder because they're just going to get what they take for Westbrook as long as they don't have to give anything up. But the main reason I like it for Orlando is because they're not going anywhere now, really. Maybe a first-round exit in the playoffs at best, like last year. But the NBA is an entertainment business, and they've struggled to draw fans. And Westbrook would help. Obviously, he's a dynamic player to watch.
And obviously, it would follow their history books perfectly. Orlando Magic is known for the place where great stars come and never stay. So Westbrook will come through, he'll entertain the fans for a few years, then they'll eventually leave when he's 35 and can't jump anymore. He'd be a great starting point guard then.
Exactly. And by the time Westbrook leaves, maybe Dwight Howard will be back on the team. Who knows?
He's a free agent. I think
free
they should
agent,
sign
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Memphis about to waive him.
So wouldn't that be a great pairing? Russell Westbrook and Dwight Howard. Talk about 2011.
In the year of the duo with Paul George and Kawhi, LeBron and AD, Westbrook and Dwight Howard could be a sleeper one.
I mean, talk about a big three. They could play Vucevic also.
Man, that's a train wreck. Hire Stan Van Gundy back in there.
I heard him and Dwight got a great report.
Oh, they do.
But you mentioned Orlando trying to fill seats. I feel like Miami's trying to do the same, right?
Miami is trying to do the same. So for Miami, we have Goran Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, and Winslow going back to OKC in the return for Westbrook. Obviously, Olynyk and Winslow, Olynyk fringe young player, Winslow still a young player, and Dragic on the backside of his career.
I think Dragic's on a one-year deal, if I'm not mistaken, right? About 18 or 19 million. So that's definitely a movable contract. I think there are teams out there, maybe Dallas or I don't know. I think Dallas could be a good landing spot. Minnesota, that could you can get a small asset for Dragic. And just the fact that Winslow and Olynyk don't have that much money on their deals, I think is something that helps with the rebuild. And Winslow could be good. You put him next to Gildas Alexander, maybe that's a nice pairing of some sort. I think if they both got to play more, then they could show something.
Winslow finally showed a little bit last year, a little bit of a breakout year. Fourth overall pick back in the draft out of Duke. Hasn't really amounted to much, but you never know. Obviously, it's the Thunder would take it. Miami needs fans. Westbrook and Jimmy Butler could be fun.
I feel like Miami doesn't need fans necessarily, but I do think that they just like stars for the sake of having stars. Like, if there's, I think we agree, if there's any franchise in the league that wants Russell Westbrook, it's probably Miami. They just did a bunch of random shit to get Jimmy Butler and be a 7 seed in the East. So why not just throw Westbrook in there?
That'd be another big three. Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, and Pat Riley, of course.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to give me Bam.
No, not yet.
But the other thing that's great about it is think about the chaos in that locker room. That would just be fun.
Yeah, it seems to be a common theme. Whatever team we send Westbrook to, they got some chaos.
Yeah, but also with Butler, that's just going to be entertainment value. Yeah. Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler are going to challenge the next best five on the team to a 5-on-5 game, 2-on-5.
The final trade we drew up is with Houston. It's a 3-team trade where Russell Westbrook to the Rockets. In return, Oklahoma City gets Capella from Houston, and then from Portland, Oklahoma City gets Kent Bazemore, Zach Collins, and a first-round pick. And to Portland goes Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker.
So I guess the first question we have to answer here is Daryl Morey as crazy as he says he is in press conferences, and he just thinks if I could throw three really good players together, regardless of chemistry, it's going to work? And if he thinks the answer to that is yes, and it's rumored that the Rockets might be interested, then sure.
Regardless of position,
not?
Too.
Regardless of position. Oh, that talk about a small ball lineup.
Yeah.
Westbrook, Chris Paul, and James Harden, again, are they going to let them play with a second ball? They might need a third ball.
That's a lot of ball handlers. Harden needs his touches, but Westbrook needs 30 shots. He'll make 12, but he needs 30 shots.
So I like it from the Rockets, I guess. They got to try something different. OKC, they get Capella, who's a young guy, and I don't know, relatively manageable deal. Bazemore's on the last year of his contract. He's salary filler. And Zach Collins, great young player. He showed something in the playoffs. And I think he's got two more years of team control and a first-round pick for good measure. Just stockpile with the fact they're already drafting for two other teams for the years to come. And because they're picking for Miami and the Clippers for the next, like, 10 years. And then for Portland, do you think Gordon and Tucker move the needle for them?
I think every team would love Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker. Manageable contracts. You get a shooter, and you get a 3-and-D guy.
Now, you're calling Tucker a 3-and-D guy?
Corner 3-and-D guy. But those are grinders. They've been on the Houston team the last couple of years that have had success, at least early in the playoffs, and then struggled with the Warriors. But I think this helps Portland a lot, getting another shooter for Dame. Obviously, they signed Whiteside.
What do you think about that backcourt, though? You think McCollum, Willard, and Gordon could really play together?
The Rockets have done it.
I guess that's true. It's fair enough. I really like this idea. I think the Rockets get the star they're looking for. I think OKC gets some nice pieces to rebuild with, which is, I guess, the goal of getting rid of the Westbrook contract. And Portland, if they really think they're a fringe title contender, the fact that the NBA is so much more even than it's been in years past, then I guess they go for it here.
Why not? Why not take another shot? I thought they had a good shot at the Warriors last year. Obviously, wrong. They got swept away easily. But they played a very competitive series against a good Denver team and got a win. And they bring in the core back. So why not?
And just some quick hitter questions just to finish off this idea of the aftermath of the Kawhi trade for these three teams. First question, are the Clippers the best team in the West?
I say the West doesn't have a best team. Kind of a cop-out answer there, but...
Kind of a cop-out answer.
I think the West is great. I think there are seven teams in the West that would win the East.
Teams in the West? You're telling me Portland's better than Philly and the Bucks?
I'm telling you Portland would have... All right, Portland's a maybe.
You think Denver's better than Philly and the Bucks?
Come on. Denver came in second in the West last year.
Oh, great. Congratulations on your regular season.
So I'm saying no best team in the West. Between the Clippers... Lakers, Warriors, Denver, Houston, Utah, Portland.
One of them.
Not Portland, but Portland's also good.
I think the Clippers are the clear favorite to me in the West. Not to say that all those other teams couldn't compete, but if I had to pick a team, I think it's certainly the Clippers, Kawhi, Paul George, and like seven guys that I genuinely like. Plus the fact that they have some luxury to sit their stars. They've proven that the rest of this roster, yes, they don't have SGA and Gallinari, they're a fringe playoff team, even without those two guys. And the fact that they can throw Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell on the court for 10 to 15 minutes a night without those two stars allows them to have that load management for George coming off the injury and the famous Kawhi load management prepping him for the playoffs. And I think that just having that elite shot creator, who I would like to call a walking bucket on the second unit, I think is a nice fit, along with the fact they got Mo Harkless for free this offseason. And also, they got Chapman, who can hit shots, and the number one dog in the NBA, Patrick Beverley. This is definitely a team for me.
Yeah, Clippers are more than a fair pick. Obviously, 8 seed in the West last year, and then adding – or 7 seed in the West, right?
No, 8 seed in the West, yeah.
8 seed in the West, picking up an MVP finalist and the finals MVP, and maybe the best player in the world right now.
Yeah.
I'd say so, but – obviously, the next discussion would be the Raptors.
Let's hit this one quick. What do you think about the Raptors?
I think they're back to being a nice little boring team in Canada, and that's fine. You know?
So you're saying we should run it back?
Yeah, you know, try. Try with what you got. The East is weak. You know, maybe Kyle Lowry steps up finally. He did last year for like two or three games in the playoffs.
They don't need Lowry to step up. They just play Van Fleet instead.
Yeah, play Van Fleet, Siakam. You got a fun team. Maybe if I would watch them if they were in New York. But.
I think that, yeah, the Raptors run it back. Big thing here for me is that Gasol, Ibaka, and Kyle Lowry make about $90 million this year. And all that money.
That's horrible.
That is horrible. they make crazy money this year, but they're all in the last year of their deal. So essentially, they'll get off all that bad money. I wouldn't call it bad money. I'd call it neutral money. So at the end of the season, they run it back. They get a nice 5-6 seed. They're in the Brooklyn range for me. They're like as good as Brooklyn will be this year. Right. And that roster, they do their best. And then Ujiri's got some decisions to make. Does he want to extend those guys? Probably not. They're old and not going to get any better. But you can start to build around that core. They decided not to trade away for Paul George. And I think that there's something there. Also, Siakam next year, all-star for sure.
Yeah, he's got a chance to take over for that team.
Also, how hard could it be to be an all-star in the East next year?
Not hard.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell was an all-star last year.
You got Giannis. And then
how many Sixers make the All-Star team?
And then the Sixers starting lineup, so that's six.
No, it's funny because every year Philly fans complain that Al Horford makes the All-Star team, but now they're going to be complaining if Al Horford doesn't make the All-Star team.
Very true.
I mean, there's no way Nick makes the All-Star team. So I think there's like Trae Young could be an All-Star next year. We have no idea. Hey, the East is questionable.
Trier looks pretty good. If anyone watched that summer league game,
Lonzo Trier,
ISO Zoe.
Oh God, but. It should be a fun time, and I think the aftermath of this trade is certainly going to blow up the NBA and teach us some lessons about what it means to get firepower. And that Lakers-Clippers matchup, man, those are going to be Zion expensive tickets.
It's fun out there. West Coast, best coast.
So we briefly touched on the Lakers and the aftermath of the fact that Kawhi decided to take his talents to L.A. but play for the rival. And what led to this was – the Lakers thought they had a meeting with Kawhi. They did. They thought they were in the lead. And then we thought the Raptors were in the lead. And we thought the Clippers were out of it. But he goes to the Clippers. And the Lakers are left asking a lot of questions. But mostly left with a lot of cap space. So they had to start making some decisions. And filling out a roster that at the time had four players seemed like a very good idea. So they made some good and some questionable signings, but those were headlined by Danny Green, DeMarcus Cousins, Rajon Rondo, and finals superstar Quinn Cook.
That's right. He played.
So walk me through these decisions, Justin. What do you think about the construction of this Lakers team so far? They obviously have a lot of roster spots remaining, and they also, I think they signed Troy Daniels and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but these are definitely the big ones. Oh, JaVale McGee.
Two-time Shaqton champ, two-time world champ.
I think they overpaid him and paid him more than the minimum for no good reason. But besides all that, what do you think about the big decision they made with this bench? And do you think that they're real contenders around AD and LeBron?
I mean, obviously they're real contenders. Whenever LeBron steps on a floor, you give him another superstar. They're contenders.
Even when you don't give him another superstar, right, they're contenders.
The only time he's not is when he's hurt. But I think Kuzma can take another step. As he might have, he doesn't have to do as much this year because obviously he was the best player when LeBron was out. But the main thing I like with some of the bench guys they picked up, especially the guys they picked up after Kawhi signed with the Clippers, is the championship pedigree that they bring. I think that has value to a team, to any team, but even a team with a few young players and then a LeBron. Like Danny Green's won twice. I think Rondo once and Quinn Cook twice.
Don't give me the Rondo championship pedigree.
Rondo
thing.
He's
a long way away from his championship.
He is
pedigree.
A long way, but winners are. I would bet that the Lakers have the most combined rings of any team in the NBA. I don't know if that's true.
I would think it's got to be Golden State.
It might be Golden State.
It's got to be Golden State.
They lost some guys.
It's got to be Golden
State. They lost Iguodala. They lost KD,
okay.
But besides regardless. The point, KD and – or not KD, AD and DeMarcus Cousins back together is an interesting at best narrative with Rondo too. But I like him. I think the bench is good. Danny Green shoots over 50% in his career in the finals from three. So they have late season players.
So I guess the first thing is I'm kind of disappointed. I wish there was a nice pun I can put together with Lakers and Pelicans like we did with Timberbulls when Thibodeau went there. But unfortunately, this looks like a reconstruction of that Pelicans roster. You throw in LeBron and Kuzma and you see what happens, which it could very well work. My biggest concerns here are first defensively. I don't think any of these signings other than Danny Green can play defense at above replacement level at this point in their careers. So that's a major concern. I guess Caldwell Pope's a fine defender, but
go Dogs.
It's definitely scary for me to think about how they're going to match up against quality teams in the postseason. And LeBron's going to be expected to guard guards, I think, because if their best starting five is LeBron, Danny Green, Kuzma, Anthony Davis, and I think they're starting McGee is what they said. then that means, I guess, LeBron or Kuzma stuck guarding guards. Like,
what, you don't think LeBron can guard a guard?
I can, come but on. You think LeBron he wants to chase anybody. Around CJ McCollum for a series?
He has to in the playoffs. He'll do what he needs to do to win in the playoffs. In the regular season, he's not guarding anybody. But
I guess that's definitely fair. But I think they're gonna face teams where I think it's a tough matchup. When they go small against them, yes, the Lakers can match and go small, but I don't know if they have the depth defensively to guard point guards and shooting guards, especially when teams have elite duos of those. And that's why they missed out on the signing of Patrick Beverley, because they had to wait.
That obviously would have been a great fit for them.
Yeah.
Just a defensive stud.
But also, I like the logic of waiting, right? If they really thought they had a chance to get Kawhi, I'm great with them waiting to sign players. But at the same time, Kawhi, great job. Like, not only did you sign with the team you wanted to and get Paul George there, but you made it so it was impossible for them to get their first choice free agents. I don't know if it was on purpose or by accident, but if it was on purpose, absolute mastermind. He played all of his cards right.
Yeah, he did. He's taking over the NBA.
And even though you don't even know what his voice sounds like.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy because all the talk before free agency started, I guess before KD got hurt even, was where's KD going? We haven't even mentioned that.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the Nets a single time yet.
This takes so much more precedence just because of the living genius of Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard on his own just changed the trajectory of four NBA franchises. Kevin Durant changed the trajectory of probably two or three NBA franchises, one of which is the Knicks, who don't have a trajectory. So two NBA franchises, let's say. And
Knicks are great, Barco. Our summer league team, that's our starting lineup.
Yeah, Kadeem Allen started. We're really excited about that. But I think it's an interesting collection of guys. I don't know what Cousins can really give them, but I guess for the contract he signed, it's good to have another guy that can put the ball in the basket. But I don't know if he can actually get his feet off the ground anymore, which is definitely a concern.
Yeah. DeMarcus was expected to do nothing with the Warriors, and then everybody got hurt, so he was asked for a little more and couldn't do it. So we'll see. If everybody stays healthy and he really gets a smaller role than he had to do in the finals, then I think he can be productive and helpful.
And with all that being said, though, I think the Lakers are the second-best team in the West. Maybe Golden State. If you told me Klay Thompson's healthy, then I'll take Golden State. But for me, I think they're the second-best team in the West, and that means for me in the league. What do you think about them?
I agree. They're top two or three. Like I said, I think every team in the West is amazing. But I would take the Lakers and Clippers ahead of most of, and I'll throw the Warriors in there too, ahead of most of the Californians. I'll say it again. Unbelievable.
They used to have the Texas two-step or whatever it was called, where you played the three Texas teams, where it was Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, yeah. And it was the hardest road trip of the year. I think we're going to have to change that and call it like the California like killer or some
I really wonder what the combined spread would be if the Knicks play these three teams in California three games in a row.
It's got to be 50.
I was going to say 60.
60? It's gonna be fun to watch. And I don't know. I think that it's just a dominant part of the league. And as you were saying, though, those three teams are in the same division, aren't they? First off, how many people knew they had divisions in the NBA? I think we just thought they were conferences, and then that was kind of it. But what is it called? The Pacific Division?
Pacific Division. I don't know if you play your division more often. I would assume you do. So they're going to be fun. These teams are going to be going at it very often. And the Kings. Don't count out the Kings.
We got Lakers, Clippers, Kings.
Kings. Warriors.
Warriors and, of course, the glorious Phoenix Suns on one division. So what do we got? Eight, nine wins for the Suns next year?
Right. If there's one thing to know about this division, bet the over.
Yeah, definitely bet the over in that division. But let's get some quick hitters on free agency. A lot of big stuff happened. Get some initial reactions and thoughts.
Initial reaction, Al Horford to Philly. Jay Rich to Philly. Philly's odds to win right now sit at 15-1. I love that.
Bag of money to Tobias in Philly.
Yeah, Tobias got paid.
So you like that 15-1 number?
I love that 15-1 number for Philly, especially because we really think there's only two teams in the East that have a possibility of coming out.
I think so. And also, like, 15-1, you got great odds there. You get to the finals, anything can happen. Just ask Toronto.
Exactly. Maybe throw a little hedge if you need to once they get there, but yeah.
And unfortunately, though, as happy as we are to see Philly take that next step and be a really interesting team this season, we have to mourn the loss of the partnership between Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic. it's a really sad day for two guys that had a love and compassion for one another and represented every partnership we'd love to see amongst absolute star players in this league.
Yeah. Bobby joins a couple other fellow countrymen or
international
continent men in Dallas.
And you know, together they're making about $200 million over the next 5 years.
That's true. It's true. Maybe Toby will share a little more. You never know.
Then I guess to shift it a little bit more though, what do you think about the power dynamics in the league now? So many of the teams that we consider powerhouses have moved out west. So what are those teams that you think right now can win the championship, and how many of them are playing out west?
So the ones we agree on winning the championship, we have three out west, the three we've met, or three on the West Coast, four in the Western Conference, the three we've mentioned, the Clippers, Lakers, and Warriors, along with the Rockets, and then Philly, who we set at 15-1, and the Bucks. And Barco likes the Jazz.
I love the Jazz. What's not to love? You don't think the Jazz are a championship team right now?
I think if Donovan Mitchell takes a big leap, they can be a championship team.
Why do I need a big leap? There are plenty of teams that have won championships without a star.
Not recently.
Yes.
Not recently.
2012 Spurs.
2012 is not recent.
What are we just going to arbitrarily make up what recent means
now?
That was
7 years ago.
Who was the best player on that team?
Kawhi.
No.
Superstar Kawhi.
All those ridiculous. Superstar Kawhi, what did he average? 14 in that series? 18?
Steve Nash won MVP averaging 15.
Yeah. Okay. Great argument, Joe. Actually, that's pretty decent. But with that being said, I think that the Jazz are in the mix. And if you give me the Jazz for the sake of argument here, that's five teams we think out west can win the championship and only two out east.
Right.
And of those seven, we think the best three are in the west at minimum.
Yeah. But even so, that makes the NBA just so much better. Like last year going into the beginning of the season, how many teams could win? Two? Three?
I really thought it was one.
Honestly, one, yeah.
But obviously we didn't get that intended result. But I did pick the Raptors to come out of the east, if you recall, Justin.
Yes, I recall.
Your Venmo balance recall too?
Yeah, that was a good selection.
But I'm really excited how this league looks because it's exciting to see that there are so many teams that have a chance. And we don't get a lot of parity in the NBA like that anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun league. There are a couple teams that we think are one move away. We have two more out west here, so that makes seven total up. Right, the seven we mentioned out west, but Denver and Portland and then the Indiana Pacers.
Sorry, Celtics fans. We just don't think you're there yet.
Yeah, Celtics going through a lot these last couple of years. Kyrie,
Danny
sucks.
Ainge,
Danny
making some
Ainge.
Questionable decisions out there.
Yeah.
But we got these three teams, right? Nuggets, Portland, and the Pacers. Everything are one move away. So they have any option to jump into that top tier group with six or seven teams in it?
The team I like here, I know, is Indiana. I think if Victor Oladipo takes that Donovan Mitchell step we were talking about earlier, plus that one move, I think they're there, especially because they'd be the third best team in their conference.
So they got what's our one move options out there? I guess what is it, the Kevin Love's sweepstakes? I guess he's the only guy really out there. I mean, Cleveland's a capped out team right now. They don't want to pay the luxury tax for a team that's going to win 17 games.
It's tough. It's tough to do that. It's tough to be horrible.
What is he on? $30 million deal. I think he has three more years left on his deal. So I think those three teams, I mean, obviously the six or seven in the tier above and the teams that we think right now can definitely win are calling. But I think these three teams with Kevin Love, do you think they can get to that next step? Do you think that's the difference?
Especially, yeah. I think the Nuggets are actually close also. They were a two seed last year, and you add in another shooter that could space the floor.
Do you think Love for Millsap's an upgrade?
Hmm.
Because Millsap's on the last year of his deal?
That's true. I don't know. It's a tough one. I would say yes. I would take Kevin Love over Millsap.
I would love to see Kevin Love and Jokic try to defend any good big man in the league. But I also, right. I do agree, though.
I would love
it
to
is
see
an
the,
upgrade.
I would like to see a team try and rebound against Kevin Love and Jokic.
Oh, my God. I'd love to see Nuggets-Philly in a finals with Love and Jokic on the same team playing against Embiid and Horford. Now, that would be bully ball.
Yeah.
And also, like, from Portland's perspective, I mean, they just got that huge gauntlet of a Hassan Whiteside contract. If they just turned around and said – we'll do Whiteside, Zach Collins, and maybe a pick. Maybe they don't even need a pick for Love. Do you think that team is now in that next level too?
Yeah. I think we said all three of these teams are one move away. Obviously, Portland and Denver had a great series last year against each other, and then Portland, Damian Lillard kind of disappeared a little bit in that Golden State series, but we know he's a dude. He's there, Lillard. That Lillard contract. How about that one?
He got his bag.
Yeah, he got his bag. But these three teams are right there. And like we've said, we have seven teams in the West. And if we agree those are all playoff teams, who's the eighth?
I mean, I don't think it's OKC anymore.
Nope, can't
be OKC. Given that the last moment from last season was Damian Lillard hitting a 40-footer on Paul George, I think that represents an end of an era for them. So I'd rule them out.
I'd rule out the Suns.
Really? You don't think Phoenix is in it?
No.
I mean, they just did sign an elite playmaker in Ricky Rubio to a three-year, $51 million contract. Can't believe we didn't touch on that.
That's true. As of now, I'd say the Timberwolves, nope. Don't think so.
Unless they make that move for Russell, which I think is possible. We could talk about that in a future episode, possible outlets for the Warriors and what they could do with Russell. But for now, I don't think Timberwolves are a playoff team.
No. Pelicans have an exciting future, I think, if they make it this year.
A lot of people are picking up to make
the
playoffs.
I think it would be a year early. Like, you like to see teams develop a little. I think they need maybe one. Like,
they made the Redick signing. I like that one. That's going to help them with the win now. And also, they took the Favors contract on the player option, on the team option from Utah. So Utah got some assets for that. But more importantly, Pelicans, I mean, Zion got hurt in summer league, but
he's fine. He'll be back.
Zion, Drew Holiday.
J.J. Redick has never missed the playoffs in his career.
That's true. It's a great fact. And I don't think Horford missed the playoffs either, but I could be wrong. And but Redick, Zion, Derek Favors, Drew Holiday, Alonzo, Ingram, whatever Jackson Hayes can give you. I don't know. Seems like they have enough guys, but maybe not. Who's your pick, though? We don't got a lot of teams left in the West.
My pick's the Kings.
You love the Kings.
An absolutely dominant home team at 24-17 last year. Maybe not dominant, but they're good. Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Swipa.
What do you think about that huge contract for Harrison Barnes?
You know, maybe it's a little much, but that's all right. We're going for the 8 seed. And I think we're there. And we got the other Bogdanovich. He balls.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I like him a lot. I'm taking the Mavs. I mean, I'm going to bet on Luka getting better, because if you don't bet on Luka getting better, then you're making a mistake. Right. And then if Porzingis is healthy, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't be a playoff team. They signed Seth Curry. So they have a Curry on their roster now. They got those other two. They signed Boban. Like, what's not to love about this offseason? Besides the fact that they struck out on every free agent they wanted, what's not to love about that offseason? But, yes, for me, the 8 seed, I'll take the Mavs. But I think we have a lot of questions to be answered, and that 8 seed, I think, is up for grabs with whoever wants to make a move to make the playoffs, because I think a lot of those teams aren't in win-now mode yet.
Yeah, but the question always becomes, how much of a move do you really want to make to get swept in the first round?
I don't know. Ask Orlando. They might trade for Westbrook.
They won a game last year.
Yeah, they did.
Took game one. Biggest shot of DJ Augustine's career.
I mean, that'd be a shame, though. If Westbrook goes to Orlando, that relegates Augustine behind Westbrook and Markelle Fultz. Talk about a terrible end, such a promising career for Augustine.
Yeah, so promising. Could have been a superstar on that 7-win Bobcat team.
Talk about a great college player. What, did he play at Texas, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, good guy.
Today we're going to do a special double rant due to the long free agency season. A lot happened. So we're going to start with Barco Madness, then go to the Juices Loose. Take it away, Barco.
How do I even begin? The New York Knicks, after saying on this very podcast that the Phoenix Suns were the most incompetent franchise in the NBA, I'd like to say the New York Knicks are the most incompetent franchise in professional sports. James Dolan is the biggest asshole in all of professional sports. This guy literally goes to the media and describes how we're going to get Kevin Durant, and then has the audacity to not offer him the max contract. Are you fucking kidding me? That doesn't make any sense. Now, it would be okay. I can't expect my team to get free agents. Obviously, I'd like to think so when you play in the Shrine of Basketball. You play for the New York Knicks, and in New York City, with a great brand name, you would be able to get people to come. But let's say you can't get people to come. We decide to sign Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, and Taj Gibson to $100 million to play the same position. How much money do you have to pay to a power forward? They all suck. And instead, we could have took on contracts from a Marc Gasol or Iguodala or Mo Harkless. Look at all these other teams. They all get assets for taking on good players. And instead, we pay more for bad players and don't get assets for them. I think Washington's bad. I think Charlotte is nuts for paying Terry Rozier $19 million a year for 3 years. But who the fuck cares? At least they know they're bad. I get hope every 2 years that we're going to get a free agent. People are saying Giannis is going to come in 2021. Are you crazy? If I was Giannis, I'd move to California because I'm as far away from New York City as possible. That's how bad of an owner James Dolan is. This guy has either got to sell the team. No, nothing else. He's got to sell the team because until he sells the team, the Knicks aren't going anywhere. It is very tough to wake up every morning as an NBA fan and love this league and love this game and know that my team cannot be relevant until this guy is no longer the owner of my team. It kills me. Fuck you, James Dolan. Now to the juice is loose.
So I pulled up some tweets to read from resident quote-unquote NBA insider Chris Broussard. First one was right before the KD signing. Conflicting info. One team that was heavily in hunt for KD says he's going back to Golden State. 5 minutes later, he tweets, hearing strong rumblings that KD headed to Brooklyn and Lakers in lead for Kawhi. So we're going to ignore the Kawhi part for now. You can't just hedge your bet. Like, you're an insider. You have to, like, give the people knowledge on what's actually happening. You can't just say what everybody knows. Like, he may go to Brooklyn. He may go back to the Warriors. Might as well just throw in all the teams. Like, just say he might go to the Cavs. We know it's not happening. Just make a prediction. Next one. We have a Kawhi tweet. He said, this is a tweet from Broussard. Kawhi update. Raptors had strong meeting yesterday. Drake heavily involved, blah, blah, blah. Kawhi in deep soul searching. Wants Lakers, but wants to make sure Big Three will work. Clippers out. It's between Lakers and Raptors. Okay? So wrong. Then he said this on the show, the Lake Show. I don't know what this is, but I've been told that Kawhi is leaning heavily towards the Lakers. I've talked to some people close to the situation who said Kawhi has talked to the Clippers on a call and told them that they are out. How does this guy have a job? Like, he couldn't be more wrong. Clippers were out and then in. Lakers weren't close. He didn't even know what he was doing. Chris Broussard mentioned nothing of Paul George, obviously. Beaten to Woj by every single free agent signing. I don't know how ESPN has people this off. Like, I want to know his background. I want to know how you become can I become an NBA insider? Like, is it that easily? Do I just have to tweet predictions? Like, Giannis might go to the Knicks in 2021. Like Bargo said, obviously he's not going, but it's just so bad. He's got, like, a bad goatee. Like, he just couldn't. Oh, we pulled it up. Oberlin College. Good baseball school. Good baseball school.
Did he play baseball?
No. Not a good NBA insider school, apparently. Chris Broussard, you need a new job. ESPN needs new people. And you're done. This should be the last straw. Like, it's just so bad.
I mean, someone's got to go on the herd, right?
Yeah, but there are, like, more examples. Like, I would rather hear Colin's predictions. Even though he's just like a host of a TV show or radio show. Come on, Broussard. On to dogs of the day. Baseball tomorrow. We're going to the Home Run Derby. My dog of the day, Vladdy Jr., +600. He was going to take on Yelich in the first round, who just got injury replaced by Matt Chapman. So get that line before it changes.
I'll be taking Josh Bell +400, but more importantly, 245 pounds. This is a competition of stamina and how long a guy can swing a giant wood bat. And I like the guy that's the biggest, has pure power, and as we said on our podcast before, makes no money. So he's very incentivized to try to win because this almost doubles the value of his earnings for the year. And also he's a switch hitter, so maybe he'll hit him from both sides just to show off.
That's true. We did stick to our previous podcast. We both picked guys that don't have big contract or much of a contract at all. Next game of the day tomorrow, Monday, July 8th, Coco Gauff takes on seventh-ranked Simona Halep in the quarterfinal of Wimbledon. Now, the only reason to watch tennis is other than like a final with Djokovic, Nadal. Like, this girl's 15. She was down one set and 5-2 in her last round. Crazy comeback. She's an American. Easy to root for. Fun to watch. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
She's 15? When I was 15, I couldn't even get the ball over the net.
Pretty impressive stuff from Coco Gauff. Would beat Barco in tennis.
Really?
Yep.
Sure about that?
Yes. Quick errors. Shout out Tony and Wilbon at PTI. Justice Winslow taking 10th in the draft, not 4th.
Good shout out, Justin. Wilbon, Northwestern alum. Go Cats. Thank you all for listening to our show today. And the Foul, we really enjoyed talking about free agency. We know a bit of a longer episode today. And in the words of Justin Levine, Brett Gardner just keeps on hitting.